country is led by liars who are prepared to kill in the name of oil.
The threat from Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, that threat is real.
I'm going to Iraq to ask the Iraqis what they think of the last 7 years, the destruction of their country, the enormous loss of life.
The 8 out of 10 people in England still think that Blair lied.
American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations.
The point that I would emphasize to you is that the threat from Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, potentially nuclear weapons capability, that threat is real. We only need to look at the report from the International Atomic Energy Agency this morning.
Let me go to the man in the third row there, you, sir.
Yes, I just want to say, I think the thing about the Chilcot inquiry is that the dodgy dossier of 2002, there's not for one second I will ever believe the contents of it, which was clearly taken from the internet. And when you consider that there was only 11 votes the night that the House of Commons voted on the Iraq War, and when you also consider that Tony Blair just 2 weeks ago in the Sunday Times was reported to be receiving £1 million from a company that is now developing oil in the Iraq deserts, I find the whole thing absolutely disgusting, that this country is led by liars who are prepared to kill in the name of oil.
I'm David Lawley, a Londoner who, like a lot of people in this country, was so incensed by the Iraq War and our apparent disregard for humanity that I decided to make my own film. My father fought for this country in the Second World War. He was in the Normandy landings, but once ashore, he was blown out of a tree by a mortar shell and sent home to spend the rest of the war in the Home Guard. After that war, they set up the United Nations to stop the likes of Hitler indiscriminately invading countries again. Earlier this year in Israel, Tony Blair was being interviewed by Fox News from the States, and he was asked about Iran. This is what he said. The only thing that will work with Iran is absolute and total strength. It's quite clear that no matter what anyone thought, Tony Blair, or the whole sorry mess of the Iraq War, he'd quite happily do it all again. Here's a Daily Mail, also from the time of the Chilcot inquiry, that says that 8 out of 10 people in England still think that Blair lied, and 1 in 3 think he should be on trial. Well, I'm one of the 1 in 3 that think he should be in The Hague for war crimes. So now that it looks like we're planning on doing the whole thing again with Iran, I'm going to Iraq to ask the Iraqis what they think of the last 7 years, the destruction of their country, the enormous loss of life, and whether they agree with my view that Tony Blair really is a war criminal. So here we are in Baghdad. I've just got off the plane, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and outside it's already 42 degrees, and I'm pretty nervous. So here we are in Fardoush Square. You like the new statue? I'm here with Major Kosai from the Iraqi army. He's very kindly given us this interview, but he doesn't have the authorization to wear his uniform. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Let's go somewhere a little bit quieter.
Okay.
So, Major, how long have you been in the army?
Yes, I'm a good judge. In 1994.
You fought the Americans?
We were ready to fight them. But the orders didn't get reached.
And since the invasion, how's life now in the army?
No, there's no war, but it's just protection and harassment.
And what's his opinion of how the Americans handled the whole invasion and the British? Recently, Tony Blair has been getting money from a company now developing oil in Iraq.
نقبل لأن هذه أموال الشعب العراقي وليس أموال طالبان.
I wasn't that convinced by the Major or what he had to say, so I went down to the cultural part of town to a street named after Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salaam alaikum.
And how long were you a judge?
I'm a judge since 1970.
You were here during the invasion, the American-British invasion in 2003.
Yeah.
What do you remember?
طيارات تقصف والدبابات تدخل والقتلى والجرحى والبيوت تقصف تهدم والشوارع تهدم والمقاهي والمقرات الرسمية وغير الرسمية كلها هدمت بدون مبرر لم تكن هي عسكرية حتى تهدم احنا نعرف بالقانون الدولي بالنسبة للمعارك أو بالنسبة للحرب المناطق غير العسكرية المناطق المدنية يجب أن تبقى ولا ينالها التهديم ولا ينالها القصف ولا ينالها الضرب ولا ينالها القتل.
As a judge, you thought that the invasion was illegal.
هو هذا المهم اللي يريد أوضحه يعني أنه الاحتلال لم يكن له مبرر نهائيا.
What was the real reason that the Americans and British came if it wasn't just for Saddam Hussein?
التبرير واضح المحتل هذه القضية ليست بنت الساعة وإنما من سنة 45 إقامة أو شن حرب إبادة جماعية على العراق.
Why?
أطماع سياسية وأطماع مادية.
This is a newspaper from London.
Yeah.
This is the Sunday Times. This suggests that Tony Blair now gets £1 million a year from a company who is in talks to develop oil in Iraq.
يعني هو توني بلير يتقاضى مبالغ طبعا من شركات نفطية تعمل بالعراق. مو هيك هذا المبلغ. فإذا هذا هو الدافع المهم يعني اللي قلت أنا دافع مادي وسياسي وهذه الماديات.
How is life right now for you?
الحياة في العراق يرثى لها.
American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
What he was referring to was the dropping of four 2,000-pound bombs and the firing of 40 cruise missiles into this farm here in South Baghdad, where the Iraqi leader was supposedly hiding in a bunker. There was no bunker and no Saddam Hussein, but one civilian was killed and 14 wounded, including 9 women and children. Then again, on supposedly reliable intelligence, on the 7th of April, the US Air Force dropped another 4 massive bombs on a house. Dick Cheney said, "I think we got Saddam Hussein. He was seen crawling out of the rubble and was unable to breathe." It wasn't Saddam Hussein who was unable to breathe, but the 18 Iraqi civilians who were dead. But what of our own intelligence? And I know you've heard it 100 times before, the weapons of mass destruction, the dodgy dossier, Dr. Kelly and the 45-minute claim, the fact that the intelligence services were telling Blair that the evidence was patchy and sporadic, whilst he was telling the House of Commons it was extensive, detailed and authoritative. He was implying without qualification that Saddam Hussein actually had weapons of mass destruction. Then when Dr. Kelly committed suicide, I remember seeing Blair on television looking panicked. I thought he was going to resign, but he didn't. We made a preemptive strike on a country that was already on its knees. Whilst the United Nations man, Hans Blix, was still in the country telling us there were no weapons. Yet despite all the efforts of people like my father in World War II, we wouldn't even let him finish his job. I couldn't believe that a country I'd grown up in, known as Great Britain, would go to war without some kind of real proof. Then didn't you just love it when the bloke credited as the writer of the dodgy dossier, John Scarlett, the head of the Joint Intelligence Committee, was promoted to be the head of MI6? This was a bloke that was once called a mate by Alistair Campbell. The Conservatives said of his promotion that it was inappropriate, and the Lib Dems that it was highly controversial. I just call it corrupt. I understand you were here when the first bombs dropped. What do you remember about it?
والله جت طائرات الاحتلال قصفت المناطق هذا بيوت مدنية عوائل راحوا ضحايا هواية قلت ما شفت شيء مسلح ما شفت وحدات عسكرية هنا القصف مال الطيارات وقعت بيوتهم عليهم
حتى بقوا تحت الأنقاض فترة يعني. لما نجى الصليب الأحمر ساعدنا يعني طلعنا.
He probably didn't know, but in England, the majority of people think that Tony Blair lied to get the English people into the war. So what's your opinion of that?
مو بس على الشعب البريطاني كذا بالعالم كله.
Saddam Hussein was hung for his crimes. What do you think should happen to Bush and Blair?
والله يصير أنقص من صدام يعني أسوأ من صدام لازم.
Okay, before we go any further, I think it's time that we talked about the numbers of people who died. We know that there was 179 British soldiers who lost their lives, but what about the Iraqis? Our governments have never given us realistic figures. The World Health Organization put the figure in 2008 at 151,000.
Then a British medical journal,
The Lancet, put the figure at 2006 at 600,000. Now get this, a London polling company who polled 15 of the 17 Iraqi governments says that over a million people lost their lives. Well, so that I'm not accused of exaggerating, I'm going to say for this documentary that it was 500,000, or five times Wembley Stadium, if you like. And remember, there was only an 11-vote majority in the House of Commons the night the MPs voted to go to war, and many of them may well have been influenced by the dodgy dossier or Blair's lies. Tonight we're going to try Saddam Hussein's favourite dish, fish. Blair resigned in June 2007. Then I read in the Telegraph that a year later, in August 2008, he was doing a deal with UI Energy, an oil giant with extensive interests in Iraq. But did you know there's a committee set up to vet business interests of leaving ministers, and that they were asked by either Blair or the oil company not to publish information about that deal, and they didn't for 18 months. Had that information come out when Blair was doing his deal, we might just have all felt a bit sick. Do you know what was happening in Iraq at that time? Here's a report from the International Red Cross. During the month of August alone, we distributed more than 7 tons of medical assistance to 7 hospitals to help them cope with the influx of casualties resulting from bomb attacks in Diyala, Babylon, and Baghdad. So while the bombs were still blowing up, Blair was already shamelessly feathering his own cap. And had he had those kind of morals then, he must have had the same morals when he was lying in the House of Commons. Well, I think it's only right that we should keep some kind of balance here. So we're going up to Halabja in Kurdistan to see where Saddam Hussein, using a charming mixture of chemical weapons, bombed his own people. But before we do, I'm going to do what the Americans did when they first came to Baghdad. I'm going straight to the oil ministry. Assalamu alaikum, Asad.
Alaikum assalam.
Asam Jahad.
Ahlan, ahlan, ahlan.
Thank you for seeing me. So tell me, who's drilling the oil now in Iraq?
شاركت في هذه التنافس يعني شركات عالمية ومن مختلف الجنسيات يعني شاركت جنسيات يابانية كورية إنجليزية أمريكية ماليزية تركية أسترالية والكثير من الجنسيات العالمية.
And how much of the profits go to the Iraqi people themselves?
بعد 2003 كان هناك يعني ورثنا بنية تحتية نفطية منهارة جدا فعليك تخصيص الأموال الكبيرة لتطوير هذه البنى التحتية من أجل المواطن الآن البسيط لو تسأل في الشارع يقول أنا لم أستفاد من هذه الأموال ولم أستفاد من النفط ولم أستفاد من أي شيء طبعا هذا من حقه لأنه يعني يريد ذلك بشكل سريع سوف يلمس ذلك في المستقبل. تطوير الحقول النفطية تحتاج إلى سنوات.
So you mentioned earlier that Korea is one of the countries drilling oil here. Were you aware that during the August 2008, whilst there was a civil war here and bombs were still going off, that Tony Blair was receiving money for advice he was giving to a Korean oil company?
أما العقود التي تتحدث عنها يعني حضرتك أعتقد أنه كانت في مع غير وزارة النفط وأعتقد كانت العقود في إقليم كردستان ولا أعلم أنه هل كانت هناك نسبة لرئيس وزراء البريطاني السابق توني بلير في هذه الشركة أم لا لأن هذا الموضوع أعتقد أنه هو الشعب البريطاني هو معني بهذا الموضوع البرلمان البريطاني هو المعني بهذا الموضوع.
And why are there still petrol queues in a country that's so rich with oil?
العمليات الإرهابية كانت تستهدف الأنابيب وأعتقد الكل شاهد في الأخبار. أما لماذا لم تطور الشركات؟ كانت يعني الشركات العالمية كانت تمتنع من المجيء إلى العراق بسبب الظرف الأمني.
Here we are in Kurdistan, but just before we arrive in Halabja, I want to give you a little bit of history. The Iran-Iraq war between 1980 and 1988 was basically about a border dispute that can be traced right back until a treaty between the two countries in 1937. That there was a guerrilla warfare and bickering that prevailed back and forth right up until 1980, when Saddam Hussein, nervous that Ayatollah Khomeini's revolution might spill over into Iraq, decided to invade Iran. The war went on for 8 years, and 500,000 people, mostly military, lost their lives until the UN managed to get a ceasefire between the two countries. But just in the last few months of the war, because the Kurds up here, who were trying to fight for their own autonomy, had taken sides with the Iranians, Saddam Hussein decided with his cousin Kemal Ali to send their air force on a 5-hour bombing mission over Halabja. He didn't just bomb the front lines where the military were, he sent the bombs to the residential area. There was a charming mixture of mustard gas and the lethal hydrogen cyanide. So here we are in Sulaymaniyye, an hour from Halabja. I'm just going into this cafe to see what some of the guys think about Saddam Hussein's chemical bombs. Tell me your story, your story.
والله اورزك اللي فيها تقريبا بعد صاروخ وسان دو درنا تيارغان هاتنو كيميائيا وسان كيميائيا دوسينو او چامبون ريحان يا چامبون سيويا الكتريشي كاجي خردل زلام يا سلطان إن جاوا أقول منطقة أنا بالا منطقة عبابلين أو شاري على بجا خلت شيء جوا زوري كوش.
You went towards Iran. And what happened to you and your family?
والله إيران لين شيء أردوغان بكر دينو واري شيء خيام و أشياء يعني لو داني سين بقمة.
How long did you stay in Iran?
No man.
What money did you have?
والله إلا خيام أجن ترى مروج أزراك أنا إني خوارد مني وطول.
And what did you find when you got back?
إيران أبو هم إيران أبو.
Did you lose any friends?
والله مالي خالق مويان. باوچ اسم چهار بو باوکم. باوچ اسم چهار بو.
We're sitting on a mass grave. How many bodies are in here?
1,500.
And how many of these graves are there here?
It's four of them.
Four. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long did it take for the chemicals to wear off and for people to be able to walk around again?
Still is not safe. After 22 years, we are still have a problem to live in the city.
Even now?
Even now, yeah.
Okay. And in your opinion, why did Saddam Hussein drop these bombs on you people?
because Iranian, they occupied the city, and we were fighting for our autonomy, and we like to live in a freedom.
Uh-huh.
And for that, he bombed us, and he killed a lot of people in the city.
5,000, I believe.
5,000 of them.
5,000, okay.
Include those people, eight people from my family, my father and mother, and three sisters, three brothers.
Mm. You must be still getting over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm going to go and meet the Deputy Minister for Martyrs. He was actually in Halabja during the bombings. Where were you in 1988 when the bombs dropped?
أني كنت أحد الثوار في الحركة في الثورة الكردية بمنطقة ياقسمر مقر قيادة الاتحاد الوطني الكردستاني بمنطقة يسمون دور جافعاتي.
So were you fighting in the war?
إحنا شاركنا بالمعركة لكن بالنسبة لنا معركة دفاعية دفاع عن النفس.
It was just after lunch in Halabja, and having just walked around in the heat, I was very happy to find a few guys drinking tea.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
So where were you when the bombs, the chemical bombs dropped by Saddam Hussein in
1988? In 1988.
You must have been very lucky not to have been affected by the chemicals yourself.
And
do you think the occupiers, Bush and Blair, do you think they're criminals?
No.
So Saddam Hussein was clearly a really nasty, evil piece of work, and Halabja was maybe only a very small percentage of what he did. But was he the only one to use chemical weapons in Iraq? Tomorrow we're going to the most notorious battle of the entire war, the city of Fallujah. Fallujah is one of the most dangerous places in Iraq. The city known as the City of Mosques for having over 200 mosques for a population of 400,000 before the war, which is now down to 250,000 due to the fact that most of the people legged it when the Americans made the announcement that they were going to whack the place, and those people just haven't bothered coming back. When the Americans marched into Fallujah with 10,000 soldiers in April 2003, they took over the old Ba'athist headquarters and then in their wisdom decided to use this secondary school as a military base. Defying a curfew one evening, about 200 people came down this street to demonstrate about the school's closure. The Americans say they were opened fire on, and from the roof shot 17 Iraqi civilians and wounded 70. Then in March 2004, the Iraqi insurgents ambushed a pickup truck carrying four American private military contractors. Having killed them and setting fire to the truck, they took the remains and dragged them through the streets for everyone to see, where they hung them up there. On the bridge. As you can imagine, the Americans weren't too happy about this, so they decided to take control of the city in two operations, Operation Vigilant Resolve and Operation, well, you'll love the name of this one, Phantom Fury. Throughout the battle that ensued, the Americans lost 95 lives, the insurgents lost 1,300, well, the civilian population, according to a report in The Guardian, was like 4,000 to 6,000 died. That's more than the Blitz in London in the Second World War. So was Saddam Hussein the only one to use chemical weapons in Iraq? Well, all of these kids here were all born with birth defects, probably because of the depleted uranium used in the American bombs to toughen them so that they could go through the concrete.
احنا بعد ما يعني اسست الجمعيه بدينا نستقبل المعاقين بصوره عامه اطفال كبار نساء رجال بس الشيء اللي لاحظناه انه بالبعض بعد السقوط بدات تتزايد عندنا اعداد كبيره من الاطفال للانتساب لهذه الجمعيه خاصه التشوهات الولاديه.
Birth defects in Fallujah have gone up to 13 times the figures in Europe, but it's not quite clear why. In an earlier report by the BBC, John Simpson puts it down to the fact that the rubble from the buildings was probably swept into the Euphrates River and then the drinking water's taken from there. The jury's still out. What we do know is that the doctors in Fallujah just advise women to not have children or to move away from Fallujah. Saddam Hussein was hung for his crimes, but what about Tony Blair and George Bush?
إذا مجرم حرب أكوفة هو توني بلير وجورج بوش. والأب والابن اثنينهم فهم مجرمي حرب وهم اللي يستحقون الإعدام.
So when does an act of war become a war crime? The Americans have admitted using white phosphorus here. White phosphorus is lumps of phosphorus that burn until all the oxygen around them is used up. If they land on the skin, they'll go straight through to your bone. But then the Americans say they only used it for illumination purposes. So that's all right then. You remember those mass graves back in Halabja? Well, now I'm in another one, except this one doesn't belong to Saddam Hussein. This one was the responsibility of the Americans. This used to be a football field for Fallujah Town Football Club. It now holds 3,500 bodies. It might be considered a little bit rude if a guy coming all the way from London wasn't to visit where our troops were stationed. So I'm taking the 12-hour night train from Baghdad to Basra. This place was built by the British in 1948. I better get a ticket. Hello, one sleeping car to Basra, please. Thank you. Shukran. Ah.
It was about 9 p.m, so I headed to the restaurant car. The first person I met turned out to be an Iraqi Marine.
Tell the story of the battle. What happened to you?
Oh, really? Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Who says? Okay. Hey, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn off. Okay. I'm being told by a guy from the back of the carriage here that I shouldn't ask questions like this. But he has told me I can ask questions about Bush and Blair. Can I ask your opinion of the Bush and Blair then?
وهي هاي كانت غايتهم يعني هي غاية توني بلير وبوش هي غايتهم سرق ثروات العراق لا أكثر ولا أقل مو قتل صدام حسين أو غيره من الرؤساء سرق ثروات العراق.
Why do you think they destroyed it in your opinion?
كانوا يعني يتخيلون بأن السياسة اللي يتبعوها بالبلد العراق مثل السياسة اللي عندهم بأمريكا.
What do you think should happen to Bush and Blair?
المفروض يتقدمون لمحاكمة عسكرية.
They should be a military court.
كمجرمين حرب.
What does he think will happen to Iraq now?
والله يعني التصور يعني إذا يعني الحكومة كانت يعني حكومة صالحة وجيدة فهو إن شاء الله هو الأحسن للعراق. في حالة واحدة إذا أمريكا شالت إيدها أو الدول المجاورة شالت إيدها من العراق.
Fantastic. شكراً.
Okay.
I then went to chat to a guy who'd sadly had one of his sons killed by the insurgents.
وعندي ابني الآخر راح خذوا الإرهاب بالدورة خذوا الإرهاب مال الدورة بس بالدورة فهم
أبوه. Really? In the farm area?
Hey. هو سيارته.
When was that? شو وقت
هذا؟ 4/4 قبل ال يعني صار سنتين
Obviously, you must hate the terrorists.
Anyone.
What about the invasion? What's your opinion about the invasion?
Huh? الاحتلال والله بالنسبة لنا دمرنا مو زين. أمريكا محتلتنا ما سوت لنا شيء. الدول العربية دا تدفع إرهاب علينا. إرهاب جاي يذبحون، يذبحون ببلدنا، يذبحون بجيشنا. يعني ما استفادنا شيء من الاحتلال، ما استفادنا شيء.
We are in Basra, the second largest city of Iraq, with over 3 million people. 80% of the oil passes through the port down the road here. And anyway, I'm going to go and ask some of the guys how life has been since the British were here.
As usual, I headed for the busiest cafe I could find, and for once, it wasn't just me who seemed to have a lot to say.
إذن أبواقهم الإعلامية، أبواق الإعلامية اللي بالإعلام على أنه تحرير العراق من طاغية، فعلاً طاغية دمر العراق، صحيح. ولكن هم الاهداف الاساسيه اللي اجوا عليهم مو هاي. اسال توني بلير. اسال توني بلير.
So would it surprise you to hear that Tony Blair now gets money from companies drilling oil here?
هاي المعلومه وارده بس كدليل عندي ما عندي. صحيح توني بلير جاء خلف بوش اللي سحبه بحبل، جره بحبل يركض وراه. انا استغرب بريطانيا العظمى بعظمتها.
Yes. So listen, one more question.
تنجر وراء.
I'm so surprised.
Okay.
أرجو فتح تحقيق من.
Tell him I was.
من الفضائية.
That's why I'm here.
من الفضائية التي تعمل بها أنت. أنت للفضائية التي تعمل بها أنت أن تفتح تحقيق مع توني بلير أين ذهبت وكم أملاكه الآن.
أنا
لا عندي أدلة، وإنما الإشاعات العامة بصورة عامة بالبصرة وبالعراق. وحتى بوش.
Just tell me something.
So do you think that George Bush and Tony Blair are war criminals?
بالنسبة أنه مجرمين حرب، فعلا مجرمين حرب، لأنه قتلوا من العراق أكثر مما كان المفروض بهم. وإذا أرادوا أن يحرروا العراق بصورة طبيعية وبدون القتل وبدون طائرات تقصف المنازل السكنية وتقتل بحيث بطريقة ثانية، باعتبارهم مجرمين حرب.
This place used to be a hotel built by the British in 1937. It now belongs to the Iraqi army. Since the British have left, there's still been a number of very big car bombings in Basra. So now, do you think you're rid of these terrorists?
I think they يعني هم كانوا موجودين البريطاني في صولة الفرسان صفحة بالنسبة للميليشيات انتهت وإلى اليوم.
Were you aware that in Britain the majority of people think that Tony Blair lied to get us into this war? I think most of the oil that comes from Iraq passes through Basra. So tell me, do you know who's running the oil business now? The Iraqis and the Iraki government. Okay. So were you aware that Tony Blair now receives money from some of these oil companies?
هذا الموضوع ما أعرفه، ما عندي معلومات.
Do you have an idea of the numbers of insurgents that you've managed to destroy, and how many soldiers have you lost in the battles?
ما عندي عدد محدد.
No. Okay. But you must have a known number of soldiers. You must have a known number of military people.
عدد قليل جدا.
شكرًا. I think that's it. Okay, some more about the oil. Well, Iraq has the second largest oil fields in the world.
Back in 1918, Britain, as part of another invasion, colonised the place and got control of the oil, which they later shared with the Americans right up until 1972, when Saddam Hussein kicked us out. Then for a few years before the war, he was doing deals with the French, the Russians and the Chinese. Well now, since the war, we're back in. But then, as we heard earlier, so it would seem with the rest of the world. Alan Greenspan was chairman of the US Federal Reserve for 18 years. Therefore, he was a bloke who knew something about international business. He said in an interview in The Guardian, he said the invasion of Iraq was aimed at protecting Middle East oil reserves. I thought the issue of weapons of mass destruction as an excuse was utterly beside the point. It was clear to him that Saddam Hussein had wanted to control the Straits of Hormuz here, and so control Middle East oil shipments through the vital route out of the Gulf. He said that had Saddam Hussein been able to do that, it would have been devastating to the West, as the former Iraqi president could have just shut off 5 million of barrels a day and brought the industrial world to its knees. In his book, The Age of Turbulence, Mr. Greenspan went on to say that he was saddened that it was politically inconvenient to acknowledge what everyone knows. The Iraqi war was largely about oil. Driving back to Baghdad, I was feeling a little sad that my time in Iraq was coming to an end. But then things started to look up when I got a call from an office director at the Ministry of Tourism to say that he'd be happy to come out on a boat with me on the Tigris River. Tell me something, what kind of tourists come to Iraq?
الحقيقة السياحة في العراق ما انقطعت من تاريخ من بعد 2003 بسبب السياحة الدينية. تطورت المسألة بدأت بالإيرانيين يعني هم شكلوا نسبة كبيرة من الزوار وأضيفت إليها بقية الدول الإسلامية من باكستان من الدول العربية المجاورة كلها يعني في كل المناسبات الدينية يعني عدد من الزوار في ازدياد إلى أنه وصل تجاوز 2 مليون زائر العام الماضي.
I've come here because I was disgusted with Tony Blair, who now receives money from companies developing oil here. Were you aware of that?
هذه وجهة نظرة يعني. أما هذا اللي يطلع على حقائق الأمور اللي ربما تتوجه عند هذا النظر. إحنا بالنسبة لنا يعني نشوف أكو فد موقف دولي أجمع عليه لأن صدام حسين وصلت اعتداءاته إلى كل المنطقة. فصار رجل يعني خارج القياسات والقوانين وذلك تعرض إلى ما تعرض إليه وتعرض إلى بلده.
The majority of people think Tony Blair lied to get us into this war.
أنا أعتقد أنه المعطيات اللي كانت حاضرة أمام توني بلير هو أن يتخذ هذا القرار هو رجل شجاع في القرار.
What about the 500,000 people or so who died?
من المسبب يعني هذه ليش إحنا يعني بينا أنه الفرحة بسقوط صدام بس الحزن على ما قال إليه يعني أكو خطأ في الاستراتيجية في ما بعد صدام يعني الخطأ يتحمله العراقيون والاحتلال.
That evening, walking around a cafe, I tried to find out a little more about life since the invasion.
التغيير ما سوته أمريكا وبريطانيا بمعزل عن الجهد العراقي. التغيير هو الحلم. منذ زمن وانطينا تضحيات كبيرة حلمنا أن نعيش الديمقراطية أن نمارس الفعل الديمقراطي.
Why do you think it's taken so 7 years for it to sort of start to settle down? Why has it taken so long for it to start to settle down?
الإجابة قصيرة يعني ليش يعني طولة 7 سنين يعني سنة 2004 لليوم إنه الوضعية شوية أدهت يعني ليش طولة يعني صار 7 سنين يعني ليش طولة 7 سنين لما تهدأ الأمور يعني؟
بسبب الأخطاء الكبيرة اللي ارتكبها الجيش الأمريكي وبسبب القرار الخاطئ للإدارة الأمريكية اعتبروا هم قوات محتلة وهذا يعني أثار تداعيات خطيرة أثرت سلبا على العملية الديمقراطية يعني وعندي إضافة أسوأ ما فعلته الإدارة الأمريكية أن نصبت بريمر وهذا رجل سيء حاكم مدني للعراق حول الفوضى الخلاقة إلى فوضى مؤذية.
What about the 500,000 people or so who died?
This is the people died not because Tony Blair he have a decision. Yes. We have bad brothers in our country.
Yes.
Yeah. So you get me?
Yes, I understand. But don't you
but
think?
But he's not a crime guy. He,
no.
He's,
but don't
Tony
you
Blair
think
if
they
is good
don't,
guys.
Don't you think they should have known about all your bad enemies before they came
they,
in?
You know, they came from west to east.
Yes.
That's the difference. They don't have anything about our culture and the attacks happen quickly.
Yes.
Because 11 September fighting with Afghanistan and Iraq, there is no more thinking about that.
One thing that needs reiterating is that for the 500,000 people or so that died, many of those were after the initial invasion. But then, Clare Short did write to Blair just 2 weeks before the conflict to say that preparations for the reconstruction of Iraq were not ready. She warned of a possible humanitarian crisis unless planners were given more time. She said that the US body overseeing the post-war strategy was understaffed, under-resourced, and underprepared for the scale of the challenge, and that they needed more time.
Salaam alaikum. Skinny latte, please. All right, chai. Major Tim Cross, who was the UK representative to the US body of reconstruction, said at the Chilcot inquiry that he did not believe the post-war planning was anywhere near ready. I told him, Blair, that there was no clarity on what was going to be needed after the military phase of the operation, nor who would provide it. Although I was confident that we would secure a military victory, I offered my view that we should not begin that campaign until we had a much more coherent post-war plan. Blair did apparently talk to Washington about the post-war plans, but then, as any reasonable person might conclude, why didn't he just say, look, George, we're not ready yet. What are we going to do when we get there? And besides, Hans Blix, the UN man, is still in the country telling us there are no weapons. But he didn't, did he? And now, coincidentally, he's making millions. The next day, I realised that throughout my whole time in Iraq, I'd hardly come across any women. So I headed down to the local market.
So tell me something, how has life changed from Saddam's time to the time since the invasion?
كثير من الأشياء تغيرت أهمها شيء من الحرية أصبح هناك في البلد لكن حرية غير منظمة وأيضا مفهوم الديمقراطية عند الشعب العراقي أصبح غير منظم أو غير مفهوم حتى عند السياسيين ليس فقط عند الشعب العراقي.
Are you positive for the future for women here?
تفاؤل متواضع ليس كثيرا.
What did you think of the current invasion and the way it was handled?
هو لو نظرنا إلى الاحتلال كاحتلال طبعا هو مرفوض لكن للخلاص من دكتاتور كان قائم وقابع على أعناق المواطنين طبعا هو الخلاص منه أفضل بكثير.
Ken MacDonald, at the time of the Iraq War, was the head of the Crown Prosecution Service. Therefore, he was the top bloke in England for prosecuting people. He said this in an article in the Times. He said the degree of deceit involved in our decision to go to war in Iraq becomes steadily clearer. It is now very difficult to avoid the conclusion that Tony Blair engaged in an alarming subterfuge with his partner George Bush and went on to mislead and cajole the British people into a deadly war they had made perfectly clear they did not want. He went on to talk about Blair's sycophancy towards power and that he could not resist the glamour it attracted in Washington. He goes on to say, we frequently heard him, Blair, say the self-regarding mantra that hand on heart, I only did what I thought was right. But that this is a narcissist's defence and self-belief is no answer to misjudgment. It's certainly no answer to death. Who is any longer naive enough to accept that the then Prime Minister's mind remained innocently open after his visit to Crawford, Texas? So having had this wonderful opportunity to visit Iraq and meet some of its beautiful people, I can see that some people might say, what's all the fuss about? Saddam Hussein was genuinely an evil dictator, and life without him is a damn sight better, even with all the problems. But what if Blair had been honest and said, as Alan Greenspan suggested, and said, look, we just can't afford to let Saddam Hussein have the power to turn off the oil taps and cripple the industrialized world. So we're going in there to change the regime and secure the oil business for future generations. But he couldn't tell the truth because it would have been illegal, and his millions would have still smacked of corruption. So he had to lie and lead us into the war by deceit. And it was a deceit that went right through the invasion and also the post-war planning as well. And when at least 500,000 people lose their lives, to find out that you, the hard-working taxpayer, paid into killing these people, but that you were deceived into it by Tony Blair's deluded ego and his greed, well, that's just wrong. This is not 1917. The days of the empire are over. It doesn't matter from which country you come or from what religious background. Surely one life is as precious as any other. Just one thing I wanted to say before I go to the airport. Did you know that the oldest person to ever be taken to court for war crimes was the 89-year-old John de Maginick? He was a former SS officer in the Second World War. They carried him out of his house in a wheelchair. So, Tony, just keep one eye over your shoulder, because if you are ever taken to The Hague, I'll be in the public gallery.